As you heard at the top of the show, a summit begins at the Vatican this week to try to find a global solution to the Church's sexual abuse crisis. What do those ordinary Catholics who hunger for reform expect from this summit? Professor John Warhurst is a governance expert and chair of the group Concerned Catholics.
We expect to see an energising of a zero-tolerance approach to child sexual abuse in the Church around the whole world, so that to the extent to which this is a summit which has a number of purposes, but one of them is to make sure that the whole of the Catholic Church, not just some parts of the Church, are really on the ball and get it as far as reacting strongly and immediately to child sexual abuse. Penalties, appropriate penalties, strong penalties for any child sex abusers within the Catholic Church, among the clergy and among the laity too. That would be the broad general message which lay Catholics in Australia would be hoping for. We would hope that Archbishop Mark Coleridge, as the president of the Australian Catholic Bishops Conference, would be able to make sure that what's happening in Australia is heard within the Vatican and within the Catholic Church as a whole, but that also he would return to Australia himself, strongly supported by senior archbishops and senior presidents of bishops' conferences around the world, to continue with the Australian approach to reacting to child sexual abuse. That would include, I think, as far as lay Catholics are concerned, a recognition at the highest levels of the Church of the work of the Royal Commission into Institutional Responses to Child Sexual Abuse.
John, in addition to leading this organisation, Concerned Catholics, you know about governance. It's your specialty. Isn't it the case that even though the churches, not just the Catholic Church, but all the churches cooperated with the Royal Commission, the reality is it was forced on them? Is it the view of Concerned Catholics and other Catholic lay organisations that are very eager to clean this tragedy up, that around the world it requires often the heavy hand of government to step in?
Yes, I think that's true. And certainly if you describe it as the heavy hand of government in Australia, then that was absolutely essential to drag the churches and other non-government organisations into a recognition of the tragedy of child sexual abuse within their organisation. So to deal with this issue effectively, government certainly has to be part of the answer. There is resistance within not just the Catholic Church, but within other churches and non-government organisations, too strong a role for government. And there's talk about the separation of church and state and those sorts of issues. But I would have no trouble in accepting the proposition that in the mix for an acceptable and positive reaction to wiping out, as far as possible, child sexual abuse within the Catholic Church and other churches, that the government has to play a role and is playing a role, has played a role through the Royal Commission, has played a role through various compensation schemes and redress schemes, which governments, plural, federal and state governments in Australia, have taken a lead in.
John, as an expert in governance, what, in a concrete sense, would the involvement of Catholics in the pew look like when it comes to the governance of the Church? I mean, could it even involve Catholics like yourself, experts in governance, being on panels that appoint bishops, taking the power away, not in its entirety, but a large amount of the power away from the Vatican?
I can't see why not, Andrew. And I think as far as governance is concerned and the involvement of lay Catholics in governance structures, it has to, I think, have a fairly radical vision of as to how that might look in the future, even if it starts with small steps to begin with. You mentioned the possibility of changes to the way bishops are recommended to Rome or appointed to dioceses. Yes, I think lay Catholics in Australia and elsewhere are crying out for a reform of those sorts of appointment processes. But it wouldn't only be at that level, it would be at the level of the appointment of priests to parishes, and at the parish level, it would be in a whole range of advisory and consultative practices in which lay Catholics would be involved.
You have been a persistent voice for reform, but speaking very frankly, are there voices in the pews, the Catholic laity, that themselves are resisting reform?
Oh, certainly. I would use different terminology. There would be those who are resisting reform.
And are we talking about organised groups here that are pushing back?
Yes, I think so, or at least networks of individuals. And I think when the responses and submissions to the Plenary Council, which the time for them is almost up in the next few weeks, when they are collated, there'll certainly be a range of views, and reformers like myself will be naive to think that they'll be the only voice.
Well,
on matters of governance? Yeah. Well, I think they're...
What are they saying to push back? What's their objections?
Well, I think that... different types of objections. I think some would be saying, you know, all this will blow over and the church should go back to its old ways. Others would be saying that, well, the church is different and it's been tried and true over a long time. The argument that traditionalists and conservatives will make in any forum, whether it's politics or the church or whatever. So certainly it's not a one-way street as far as reforming voices from the laity are concerned.
That's John Warhurst of Concerned Catholics, ending this week's edition of the Religion and Ethics Report. And you can find us at the ABC Listen app and the RN website. Thanks to Mudita Dias and Tim Jenkins. I'm Andrew West. I'm back next week.